I'm considering this visit part one because we've got part two coming next week.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
All right, you guys, welcome on in to The Point with Kristen Burt. And I'm kind of excited because this is the first time we've ever introduced the show with Russian rap, okay? We're here to introduce you guys to not only new dance, but also new music as well. And this is Goof. But it is spelled, I believe, G-U-F-F. Is that correct?
Yeah, all right.
Let's introduce our guest because I'm so excited she's here. She's been a great friend to us when we were doing AfterBuzz with Dancing with the Stars. And I haven't seen you in quite a long time.
In forever.
Yes, now we're going to try this in the Russian way. Wait, Yelena Grinyenka. Oh, I
Good
love
job.
It.
She does a Moscow accent.
Well, it's because of Guff. I learned from the best. So good to see you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
I am so excited. And I would say I'm teasing everyone with the part two because someone else is coming next week that you're partnering up with. So I'm kind of excited about this. But, you know, doing research on you today, and just getting ready for the show, I was so excited because there's so many incredible videos of your competition years. And I think, you know, we all here in the U.S. get all excited about, you know, the Dancing with the Stars and the seasons that you did and who you worked with and everything. But at the same time, there's an incredible history of what you accomplished out there on the dance floor.
Lots of way before Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah, there's a lot of great, great stuff. And I hope people like go back and take a look on YouTube because I was surprised how many videos I started falling down the rabbit hole going, oh, wait, one more. Here's a mambo. Here's a rumba. It was fantastic. And, you know, let's really go back because you were born in Russia.
Right. Soviet Union, actually.
The Soviet Union at the time. Wow. Yeah. I mean, think so many changes. And I feel like, you know, it's constantly evolving when it comes to the news and history and everything else. What was it like for you when you were in the Soviet Union growing up dancing in that era?
I don't know. I guess I didn't really think that much about it, but...
Were you guys aware? Because I know that growing up, it was the Soviet Union for me, too. That we were very aware of, like, what was happening.
Yeah, at that point, I didn't see how it would be in other countries. So you were just growing up in your own country. You don't know any different. So I started dancing at 7 years old when I went to first grade. And it was pretty much my mom's dream, to tell you the truth. It's not like I said, Mommy, I want to dance. She wanted to dance when she was very young, and her parents never let her. They said that's not fun, not cool, I guess. So she wanted to do it, and she's like, okay, well, my daughter is going to dance. So she lived her dream through me.
And you were good.
And I happened to like it, and I happened to be good at it.
Your mother must have been like, this was the daughter I've been waiting for.
Oh, my God. My mother deserves her own TV show. Like, you guys have dance moms about, like, contemporary ballet and all of that stuff. My mom is a dance mom of ballroom industry.
Is she here in the U.S.?
No, she's in Russia.
Oh, we need to get her over here.
She does not speak English.
That's okay. We'll make this work. We can do subtitles.
Right.
You can translate.
But basically, that was my start. It was very close to a house, maybe like a couple of blocks away walking. Mm-hmm. So I started in September. And I have a pretty crazy story how I got into it very seriously. A boy who was a year older lost his partner, but he already danced for like a couple of years before. And he was shorter, on the shorter side, you know, that age, girls grow faster. So he lost his partner. I don't know if she quit or overgrew him. I don't know. So they couldn't find him a girl his height. Mm-hmm. So they're like, okay, there's no advanced girls your height. We're going to have to go to beginner class and see if we can find your girl. And at that point, he was already Moscow champion. So that girl happened to be me.
Wow.
So they literally picked me out of the beginner class where I maybe went dancing 5, 6, 8 times, maybe a month only. And they came up to my mom and they said, okay, we want your girl to dance with this boy. Here's his credentials. She needs to now come dancing every day. She needs two costumes. She needs shoes. She needs this and this, this. Are you in? She goes, where do I sign up?
Your mom is like, this is my dream come true.
Exactly. So I danced for fun, did the chicken dance, and then we have this dance, stirka, which we call washing.
Is that like a social dance or like a folk dance?
Like a chicken.
Like a chicken. Like a, yeah, it, like a.
It's just something that you do. A like wedding electric, dance. Like electric slide. Something yes. you can just do on your own. Maybe I had a little bit waltz and cha-cha by mm-hmm. that time. And then they said, okay, so the next Moscow Championship is in December.
And you're only in September? You have 3 months?
I'm in October at this point. So they're like, let's do this. So and that's how I started. So when I did that competition, that was before my birthday. My birthday is December 14th. So it was in the beginning of December. It was 180 couples, Moscow Championship, and we were second. So that was my start.
That's amazing. You had a great start to your dance career.
Never had a season off.
After that?
Until I retired.
They're sitting there thinking, we got her ready in 2 months. So, like, that's it. Like, your career started right away.
So, it's like talking about luck, there's obviously a certain luck into it. Talking about talented kids, so other people came in, saw something special, and also talking about that big thank you to my mother because she could have said no. She could have said, oh, you know what, I just want her to dance for fun. That sounds too intense. So she didn't. She's like, yep, that's what we're going
to
do.
Now, I know when it comes to sports and stuff, especially under when it was the Soviet Union, they oftentimes things were state-sponsored, like the gymnasts or figure skating. Did they have anything like that
Ballroom was always this unique, it's always, it's hard. It's more on the, considered on the artsy side, I guess, at that point. So it was still new. You know, everybody liked it. A lot of kids. Like, it's very popular in Russia.
Yes.
Crazy popular.
I'm surprised that it wasn't at that time sponsored.
No, it was not paid neither by schools or sponsored. There are some clubs that had private sponsorships for their couples, but it wasn't like a country would sponsor, like, gymnasts or figure skaters.
Right.
Or
even Bolshoi Ballet.
Not, because it's not an Olympic sport.
Yes, and that's a global thing that all eyeballs are on. Even though ballroom is global, there's not always all the same eyeballs.
Yeah, it's not an Olympic sport, so it's not the same.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So at what point were you really competing seriously, where you knew, like, this is more than just, like, a fun thing to do from time to time, right at 7?
Starting at 7.
Right there at 7. You knew, like, at 18, I'll still be dancing.
Well, there have been moments because when you do it so hardcore, so often, for so many hours, and you have school dance. So when you hit the teenage age,
yes,
there has been a point that I actually wanted to quit. And my mom, like I said, was really heavily involved. And, you know, as a teenager at some points, it was making me crazy. And, like, I literally said to her once, if you are coming to my competition, I'm not dancing. Like, literally.
Like, that's it.
And that's, I just can't. I can't do it.
Can't deal with you right now.
But, yeah, I had a moments where you have friends and they go out and they start dating and they go to birthday parties and they go outside and run around and do stupid shit. Sorry, I don't know if I can
that's
say
fine.
That word.
Yeah. It's all good. We're fine.
So you kind of, you want to do those things.
Yep.
And you feel like you have no childhood.
Yeah, and you're so, like, I want some freedom. I don't want to be in a dance studio
because,
all the time.
Because I grew up in Moscow. It's a huge, huge city. About 20 million people live there. So for me to get from where I live to where I dance, it took me an hour and a half just to get there.
One way.
An hour and a half back. So try to calculate school. You have to do your homework.
That's right.
3 hours a day for traveling. You'll spend 3 to 4 hours a day at the dance studio. So you have, it's not a regular child kind of schedule.
Right.
So when everybody is like 10, go sleep by 10, I get back home just by 12. So I used to fall asleep in the subway. So I would do my homework there. I would sleep in the subway. I mean, you still try to find the time to sneak out and go out.
You got to be a little rebellious, right?
Right, exactly. That's why you're like, you come back from school, you have 2-3 hours, and you're like, okay, do I do my homework or do I go out?
Some days you just have to go out.
You just go out.
when you're a teen, you're like, nah, I don't care.
But yeah, so there has been a point where I was like, I don't want to do it. I'm so tired of it. But so Soviet Union broke off. It got harder financially. Ballroom dancing became suddenly so much more expensive.
Oh, I bet.
And by the time I finished school, which is in Russia, 16, 17, so my mom told me at that point, okay, you know, I know it's been my dream and all of that, but if you don't want to do it, you don't have to, because I don't have any money to support it no longer. So at that point, I already became a Russian champion in Latin, champion in tan dance. I went outside of the country to compete in world championships and other competitions. So it just became fun. So I literally said to my mother, are you kidding me? I just started.
Yeah. And then when you get to travel, especially when you're younger, you're like, this is great.
Exactly.
It's exciting.
Especially after Soviet Union, because during Soviet Union, you were not allowed anywhere. So only politicians or sports people, they were giving special permissions or, I guess...
This whole world opens up to you.
Exactly. So I was one of the first kids from the school to actually travel outside of the world.
What was the first country you went to?
It was closer countries. I think it was Bulgaria. But then it was Bulgaria, Poland and Czech Republic, yep. All of these closer ones. And then further, Germany, that's used to be divided on two.
That's right.
So I went
East
to
and West, kids, so if you don't remember.
Yeah, so I went to a Western Germany, which was like, that was cool.
That I know, if you went to like that, I mean, if you went to West Germany at the time, that must have been like eye-opening.
Exactly. Oh my God, Coca-Cola, gum, sneakers, blue jeans.
Things that we don't even care about.
No, we would kill for those.
That's right. It's amazing to think about too. It really is. And it's a, you know, it was such a big time in history. It was even big for us here in the U.S. watching the Berlin Wall come down.
Right.
And you go back and you think and you're like, now you're just like, oh, I just go to Germany. You don't go to East Germany or West Germany.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's been times, forget about dancing, there's been times that you just can't even buy anything because there's nothing available there to buy. Like, my parents would send me to a store to stay in line for something that we don't even know what we're buying. But we saw a truck coming in, so something's going to be there.
Right. You're like, it could be milk, could be bread. We have no idea.
We have no idea. So you go in line. And you stand there for 2 hours. So people actually had the whole etiquette for line. You know, if you have to step away, they will hold your line.
They'd let you if you had to use the restroom or something.
Yeah, restroom. Or in my case, they would give me 2 kopeka, 2 cents. So if I'll be like 10 people too close, then I'll be like, okay, I'm going to call my parents. Because sometimes you buy a toilet paper, right? And I'll give you only 2 per person in line. So if I want to have more than 2 rolls for next month.
Wow.
So you use that time to call your family and you're like, okay, so how many of you home?
Right.
So they all walk to the store to get 2 toilet papers per person.
And now we go to Costco and buy
toilet
paper like the size of our head.
So you don't really think that dancing... It's just any different. You just go and then you do it. The structure is definitely was different. In a way, I actually think it was better because we had to do ballet classes. So if I was doing ballroom, I was obligated to take 2 ballet classes a week. So right now, they don't do that anymore. So we did folk dancing. And we also did formation dancing because quite often we danced for pioneer clubs. Right, so they we would use their hall,
yep.
And then when they had to put something as a concert or whatever it is, so the whole group was obligated to perform. We would not get paid for it.
But you would do it.
But we would do it. Yeah.
You know, that's really interesting, too. And, you know, having that foundation with ballet, gymnastics doesn't do compulsories anymore. Figure skating doesn't do their figures anymore.
No.
And we've lost a lot of that technique. And I bet you see it just...
I totally see it because the scoring is super different. I don't know if you know, but I trained Charlie and Charlie White and
Meryl Davis.
And Meryl Davis for 4 years before they won their Olympics.
Yes.
So I actually did a lot of choreography and not technique, I don't know, the figure skating, but handwork and styling. I did their choreography when they won the Worlds for a Latin dance.
That's amazing.
So that was a lot of fun. But just seeing how the scoring system changed. So it's not like you don't have any more to technique and artistic.
Yep.
So like, especially the single dancers right
yep.
now, they don't do anything creative between the jumps.
No, and that was a big controversy at the Olympics this year.
But they don't judge that between anymore, so who cares?
Yeah, why bother?
Why bother?
Why bother?
Why bother, yeah.
When you were working with Charlie and Meryl, what made them special as a couple? I mean, I loved watching them on ice. They were right. breathless. But also, Tessa and... Tessa Virtue is another one. And
Scott,
yes. I was like, they're another couple that you just go, wow. But there's certain couples that really stand out, and you watch the others, and you're like, everyone's sort of missing that magic.
Right.
What is it about Charlie and Meryl that you know from working with them?
First of all, they're awesome people.
They're great. They're super sweet.
But I think it's the fact of how long they worked together. They've been together since they're kids. And then they skated for, like, what, not the next 15, whatever, 20 years.
They were babies when they were together.
Exactly, together. So that skill of knowing how to work together, how to be with each other is huge. Because I think a lot of couples, whether it's skating or dancing, switch, oh, and don't work with this partner, I need a new one.
It happens a lot.
It does. And it sometimes works magically because you just find the right one. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it doesn't. People switch partners and they go...
And they probably had the magic in the first partner, but they were like, I can't stand them right now.
Yeah, it's hard because if you're not necessarily together as a man and a woman, right?
Yeah.
The couples are still... It's like marriage. Mm-hmm. Literally, like marriage. So you dance couples or figure skater couples, it's like learning how to compromise and work together, you know?
In your competition years, how many partners did you seriously compete with if you look back on your career?
Okay, for a ballroom dancer, that's actually not a lot, but that first partner that
got you started, yeah.
Got me started. And then I had another partner, Zhenya, for maybe a couple of years. Mm-hmm. And then it gotten even more serious. So I had Sergey, with who I was first Russian championship after Russia split up.
Yep.
On the youth category, which was 16, 18. And I was only 13. He was 3 years
old. You were a baby.
I was second. So that was my first world championship. That's amazing. I went to Germany.
Oh.
Yeah. So, and then I had Michael for 10 years we danced together.
That's a long time.
That's a long time. So I danced with Max Chmerkovsky for four and a half. Mm-hmm. And then Tony and I competitively only danced a year.
It was only a year?
Yes.
And you guys like just knocked it out of the park for that year?
We did it from the world championship to the world championship.
And you guys were undefeated, correct?
And we just retired. So it seems longer because after that we worked together
for so long,
and we did shows and we did all of that. But competitively, it was only a year. Nobody, when I say that to people, they're like, "No way!"
There's so many dances out there too. I've spent half the day
because,
watching.
Because the internet already was out at that point.
That's right.
So see, you can't find anything. Like there are some videos with Michael on YouTube.
But they're harder to find.
But they're hard to find. Anything before that, it's like never existed.
That's so interesting. Yeah. What did you know when you got together with Tony that it was just going to be a one-year thing and that you guys were going to retire? Or were you like, this has been such a perfect 12 months that we're good?
Well, it's kind of a funny story.
Tell it.
Because I danced international style all my life, mm-hmm. whether it was a standard or Latin. Tony did American rhythm.
And you joined American Rhythm, didn't you?
Yes. Yes. I changed the styles completely. Wow. And I love the style. Love it. Like, I enjoy dancing it so much. But competition for it worldwide is much smaller. Mm-hmm. So, like, literally international Latin is everywhere. Right. American Rhythm is, like, it's in America, it's in Canada, it's in some islands. But it's not as popular.
Smaller talent pool, yeah.
Exactly. So when he called me, it was really funny because I was like, Tony, you know what? I don't really want to do international Latin with you.
You're like, thanks, but.
Yeah. He goes, no, I'm not asking you to do international. He goes, I'm asking you to do American style. And it's going to sound conceited, But what I said, I was like, what am I going to do in internet in American Dream? I'm going to walk out, put my foot down, and I already won.
You're like, I got this.
Right. But at that point where I was, like, personally and emotionally and result-wise, I was actually kind of drained out, and I was ready to quit. And I said, I don't want to compete anymore. I'm so
done
tired.
With it. You're burnt
I'm so
out.
Down and burnt out. And when I told them what I'm going to do there, you know, because there's nobody to compete with. Mm-hmm. He literally said, but you just told me you don't want to compete. So that...
He lit the fire underneath your
feet.
Yes.
And I said, okay, well, let me think about it. He's like, let's have a tryout. I'm like, I don't want to do a tryout with you. He goes, what do you mean? I'm like, I just need to decide if I want to do American Rhythm or not. Because if I'm doing it, you're the only partner that I would do it with. So just give me a couple of days.
Let me breathe.
Right. So I called him back maybe a couple of days later, and I said, I'm going to do just this one competition.
Oh.
Just one.
Just one.
For fun. Because I don't know if I'm going to enjoy competing American Rhythm.
Right.
Right. So at that point it was, and I said, you better make sure it's fun. And I had so much fun. I danced for another year.
I love that. You know what I love too, and this is really something that I noticed from like going back and watching all the videos. Like Tony, when he was on Dancing with the Stars, constantly had the older contestants. We never mm-hmm. really got to see him dance that much, unless he had Melissa, right. You know, Roy Croft, and it was one of those things that. It was nice just to see like the heat, the electricity, everything you guys brought out there to the dance floor, because you guys were incredible together. And you really you. See the, you know, the technique of it and everything. And he's a great technician.
Right.
Yeah. And we don't, you know, Dancing with the Stars, everything gets watered
well,
down too.
Yeah, it's different because you don't want to out-dance your partner.
You can't.
I mean, you're not going to completely come down to what their level is. But you don't want to outshine them as well.
That's
because
right.
The better you dance, the worse they look.
Oh, yeah. And we've seen it happen before where pros, like, dance circles around them. And you're like, okay, now right. They're just standing there and you're just dancing.
Exactly. So that's not good.
No.
That's not smart choreography, let's put it this way.
Exactly. And, yeah, we've talked about it plenty on Dancing with the Stars.
So when you have brains, I guess, let's put it that way.
Don't dance around your partner.
You can dance around your partner if they can't, like, do anything at all. But, you know, it's always you have to still prioritize to what they can possibly do
yep.
and help them to be the best they are and frame that
in the best way possible
to
showcase
in the best way possible
them, yeah.
Yes, that's it.
Before Tony, you danced with Max. How do you categorize your 4 years with Max? Because he's done a lot
difficult.
Of... Difficult. Exactly. That's what I was going to ask. He's done so much growing up over the years.
Right.
It's interesting to see him now in a place where he's a family man and
yeah.
he's got his son. And, I think he feels really great where he is right now. But
honestly, I feel he was always a family guy. Even when he was young, he was always saying, I want to have a family. I want to have kids. And,
he
values family. Like, you can read it in all their posts, family, family, family. For them, family is everything. So I'm actually kind of even surprised that he got it later. Like,
yeah, thought maybe he would find that person earlier.
Yes.
And, yeah. Well, yeah. Peter was always around. He just had to go back to her and realize, oh, this is
right.
my wife.
Yeah.
But was he as hot-headed as we saw in early seasons of Dancing with the Stars when you were working with him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the thing is, you see, like, yes, TV is TV, obviously. Like, they cut certain things and they can make you look whichever way. If you practiced for 40 hours and out of those 40, you yawned for 4 times. Your package is only 1 minute something.
Yeah, and then they'll make the sleepy package edit.
Exactly.
We've seen it, yeah.
Exactly. So you can't really judge people buy those packages because, you know, they're altered, but, you know, there is no smoke without the fire.
Sure.
Right? So he is very hot-headed. It's my way or highway, and it's sometimes very difficult to work with.
He's passionate.
Especially when you have a different opinion.
Yes, I bet the two of you were like, no, yes, no, yes.
Yeah, we had our...
you had your moments.
Like, Tony and I never fought.
Tony's more laid back, though.
Tony is more reasonable.
Okay.
Let's just put it this way.
Yeah.
He explains things, why he wants things a certain way, versus Max would be, this is it. I just decided this is it. You know, it was harder.
When you ended that partnership, was it? Did you guys kind of know that like, it had reached its natural end, or?
Yeah, it got it to the point that we couldn't work together anymore. Yeah. So we literally had a conversation and we said that we have a common goal. That's why we stayed together for mm-hmm. for a long time, even through difficulties. But we just couldn't do it any longer.
Yep.
So that's...
It's a breakup. It's sad. It's hard.
That's what I said. That's yeah. like marriage.
It really is. Yeah. Do you have a favorite moment in working with Max? Because there's obviously good moments
yes,
in that times, too.
Absolutely. German Open Mannheim final.
Did you come out number one?
No, we were number six.
What
but
made
I was
so
just so happy to be there. Because it was one of those huge European competitions. And I went there as a little girl at 13. And everything was just so magical.
Yeah.
And the hole that where we danced at. And if you make top 24, you get to dance. They had three ballrooms, so the competition was so big. So mm-hmm. you compete, you cut rounds there. And in the evening, all the top couples dance in that ballroom with a live band. And it's packed. I mean, there is not a one single seat that is available.
I just love the fact there's a live band. Like, yes. That's
live
magical.
So, and it's like your dream come true to make it there. So my last German Open, I danced with Michael, and my best result was their semifinal in youth in Latin.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, I don't know, 94, maybe 95. So I came back there with Max in like early 2000s. I don't remember what that was year, as a pro, and we made a final. And for us, that was like literally...
It was a big deal.
We have to say, that's in YouTube, on YouTube. You can see us running on the floor and Max starting dancing samba. And we're just so excited. And instead of start dancing, he just went...
You know? You're like, what are you doing?
Exactly. So that, for me, was like literally like one of those... poppy laugh, you know, I don't know how to describe it. It's like happiest moment ever.
You're just giddy.
Where you're just like, I am arrived.
I'm here.
I'm finally made
but
it.
But that's so cool, though, to have yeah. that memory. And it doesn't matter right. where you placed or anything else.
No, because honestly, being sixth in the world is just awesome. I mean, how many people could say those things?
That's right.
You know, obviously saying I'm a world champion, it sounds way cooler. But there's a lot of couples and a lot of coaches that are not necessarily ever first, but they're just as legit. And very good.
Top five, top 10 in the world. Incredible.
I mean, if you put in your resume, you went to Olympics to represent the country. Even if you were 100th.
You went to the Olympics.
You went to Olympics.
I would like to go to the Olympics. I don't know what sport. I don't have a sport, but I would like to do it. Because I think it is.
Curling.
Curling. That's all I've got left. I better start soon. When did the call come for you for Dancing with the Stars? Because obviously... You came mm-hmm. in for season three. Did a producer contact you or someone recommend you?
Yeah, in the very beginning, where I guess they did their search about top couples in the United States. So we were all contacted by ABC. And the thing already started as Strictly Come Dancing in England.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so for us, it was like all foreign, weird. What is that?
You're like, why are they doing the show?
Exactly. I'm like, literally, I was like, okay, well, that sounds horrible, right? How much are you paying? And they're like, we're not really paying that much.
Right.
You know? So first season, you know how it's like a pilot season, though, I guess. So
it was over the summer. They did 6 weeks.
Right. So they wouldn't pay for the housing and the money wasn't even. And we're like, no, we can't do that. We're dancing Blackpool. I mean, no. So we said no. Mm-hmm. And then the first season happened, and then it became overnight success.
An amazing success.
Right.
I remember that. And I watched just because I'm like, I'm going to watch this train wreck on TV. And it wound up being really engaging.
Exactly.
And then I think they picked it up for the second season was right away for January.
That's when Max and I split up, and then Network called again, and I started dancing with Tony, and Max was thinking, I'm like, what are you thinking? You have nothing to do. Go do it.
Right.
So then he joined on the season two, and I did it on third one.
And you did in the third one. Yeah. What was it like? Because I think a lot of us that have kind of stuck with the show through the 25 seasons, there's a lot.
That's a lot. I wish they only did it once a year, honestly.
We thought that that was going to wind up happening, but now they're doing the mini season, which is just 4 weeks, you know, coming up. It starts April 30th. I'm like, what are they going to do? Triple eliminations? I asked.
Because I'm like, they have as many celebrities?
They're going to have 10 athletes. It's all athletes. Okay. 4 weeks. I mean,
you know, athletes get eliminated like this.
Like this.
Half first week.
Yeah, bye. But it's all athletes, so we're going to lose the entire. I don't know how they're going to do it. It's going to be interesting. But I think that there's a lot of nostalgia for the earlier seasons because there was more ballroom. We didn't throw in contemporary or hip hop or anything else like that.
Yeah, it was like strictly ballroom. I don't think I would be able to participate in seasons right now.
Yeah, if they were like, here's a contemporary dance.
I'm such a ball. Well, I can fake it.
Right.
But it's still faking it. It's like, if I would ever watch the episodes, I'm like, you know.
That's how Len feels. Len is always like, I don't know, this contemporary thing, you know. He just is always like, what am I judging?
Right, because we, like, dancer is a dancer. It's like, if you watch So You Think You Can Dance, right? So you are a hip-hop dancer, and then you fake your way through the rest of the styles.
Right.
Right? So it's always reverse. So for me, it would be a torture. It would be an absolute torture if I'd have to do it. I would do it, but...
But you're like, not happily.
I don't know if I would enjoy it. No.
You had Tucker Carlson the very first season. You know, and it's so funny because now in this hot political climate, he's on TV all the time.
Yeah, he's back on.
He's back on big time. And we won't get into the politics side of it, but what was it like working with him? Obviously, dancing's not his strong suit.
Actually, hilarious.
Yeah, he smiled through the whole thing.
He was extremely funny, and he has a very sarcastic sense of humor, mm-hmm. and Russians are extremely sarcastic, so it was just right up my alley.
So you guys got along very well.
We did. He just didn't have enough time. So he literally, when he signed up, that season was the only season people got 6 weeks to prepare. And out of those 6 weeks, I only had two.
Oh, jeez.
So... with the fact that he was literally, I'm sorry, the least talented.
He needed the 6 weeks.
Right.
Yeah.
So he had previous commitments, and then he had some other things, and then he had scheduled family vacations.
Okay, bye. Go on vacation while I need you here.
Right. So talking about dancing around your celebrity, I had to put him on the chair.
I remember that.
And danced around him for 15 or 20 seconds. Because he only managed to learn 45 seconds on the routine. So there's just nothing I could do. So my way was, okay, I'll just put you on a chair and I'll dance around you for the first 20 seconds.
You have to add the fluff.
And I'm done. So I absolutely, totally got bashed for choreography.
But did Len knock you down?
I think it was all of them. I mean, Bruno, I remember, said, you were sitting like on the toilet bowl, and he said, and it was so terrible, but when you got up, it gotten worse. Something like that. I mean, there was...
No. There's a photo of good old Tucker, like, laughing.
Right, right. So so it's pretty bad. Like, they're literally like, why would you do that? And things like, and at that point, it was... Right now, they love the drama, and a lot of dancers talk back. But at that point, you won't even get a mic in your face.
Yeah, you can't be like, okay, everyone else got 6 weeks. He can't dance that much. He had a vacation.
You can't. No, you didn't even get a chance.
And like, talking back to the judges doesn't work very well, even in season 25.
At least you can right now. Before, you couldn't even do it.
Right.
They'll just literally have a mic to a celebrity's face, and you're just standing there smiling.
Hey, my choreography.
Yeah.
I have nothing else to say because I can't talk.
There you go, yeah.
When you come back for that next season with Clyde Drexler,
right.
Height difference, huge.
Oh, my God, yes.
He's 6'5"? He looked tall.
6'7". And wow. I'm 5'4".
Yeah, you're petite.
Yeah. So... I dance in my 4.5-inch heels, but I can't go higher than that.
Right.
I mean, I could have danced on my platforms. Get a Louis Vuitton.
Yes,
on.
Just do that. You're like, whatever works to make me taller.
It was challenging in a sense because he is such an amazing athlete, and doing what he did, he has a lot of injuries. So when you have a lot of injuries, you can't do a lot of things. So I was trying to do a choreography for him to go lower, but then he couldn't do it.
Yeah.
So I'd be like, okay, can you do this lunge with this leg, with this bent knee?
His knees and basketball.
No. And then he had a rotator
cuff.
Yeah, so it'd be like...
The frame, I bet,
yes,
was tough.
Yes, I was like, okay, you got to call your frame. It doesn't matter how short I am. I'll do this. But you got to hold it.
It was killing him, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was just physically hard for him. He actually admitted. He's like, I didn't even slightly think it's going to be that difficult.
They don't think about the frame
no.
at all, ever.
No.
Did you guys get along well? Was he
Yeah. I got
hard worker.
He was just an amazing person. Like, amazing person. We always got lost scores.
It happens.
You know, but we went through 5 weeks.
That's great.
You know, so we actually never been on the bottom two. Until the last week when we got voted out. So he has a lot of fans.
That's like, good. Yeah, America loved him then.
Oh, my God. I remember just going anywhere with him in restaurant. You just couldn't just walk in where people would just... Right. So I don't know. Tough love. Aww. It's like you're so famous that you can't just go eat anywhere.
I know. That doesn't sound like fun, actually.
No, because I think if you're an actor, right, and you're an average height... You could just put a baseball cap on. He's just so tall.
Everyone knows it's
like,
Clyde, yeah.
You can't miss the guy.
Yeah. So you didn't come back. You did season 3 and 4.
Yes.
Did you make the decision to not return, or how was that?
You know what? I think it was kind of a both, because yep. I felt, and again, I don't know both sides of the story, right? But I felt that reality TV, great, yeah, but it's not really real, right?
it's never real. And if anyone right. believes those packages, I'm like, let me tell you a story.
Exactly. So I felt like I've been pushed to be a tough, you know, Soviet Union bitch. You do that.
Who listens to Goof?
Right, exactly.
the rapper.
Yeah, Russian rap. But that's just not me. That's not how I teach.
Right.
That's not how I teach. And yes, being Russian, I'm a little more straightforward. I could say things, but I don't push people. I don't insult people. Like, I find my way how to teach that specific person in order to make it as nice as possible. But I felt like I was like, oh, you should say this, or you should do this, and you should do this. And I'm like, I don't want to do that.
Because you're like, that's not authentically me.
No, because like my very, very first package with Tucker, and you know how reality TV works. You're like, so what's the weather today? You can't just say good.
Yeah.
You go, the weather today is good.
Sunny and right. lovely. And yeah.
Exactly. So the question was, how's Tucker's abilities to dance? So I went, Tucker's ability to dance. I'm like, I really don't want to answer that question. My package, Tucker's ability to dance. God,
no.
Yep, you can still find it. That
and you're like, that's not what I meant. I was responding to the producer, not to the question.
God.
This is what people need to understand with all of these packages, too.
Right. And listen, I don't blame them. I think they're doing a great job. Otherwise, they
talk
wouldn't
about
be
them.
A 26th season.
That's
so
right.
So all hands down to them for all those Emmy Awards. It's an amazing show. I can only say thank you because how it put ballroom dancing on the map.
Mm-hmm.
Because before Dancing with the Stars, you could say, so what do you do for a living? And you'd be, I'm a professional ballroom dancer. They'd be like, okay, great, but what do you do for a living?
You're like, I'm a professional ballroom dancer.
Yeah.
And now you're like, everyone gets it. It's
now,
so easy.
Yes, now they understand what it is. They see how hard it is because then they see all those people work. So they don't just see the dancing. They still see those packages and
that's
how
right.
difficult it is. The injuries, the drama, the tears, and all of this wonderful stuff that comes with it.
I do think, like, other than maybe Survivor, where you're out there starving as well, I think Dancing with the Stars is, like, it's true.
What about Big Brother?
Big Brother, living in a house without internet. Oh, no. But I do, but Dancing with the Stars, I think, like Survivor, it takes the physical and the emotional. Like, you have to be all in. You have to
right.
be open to the experience, and that's even if you're not the best dancer, that's how you stay as long as you possibly can in the competition.
Well, it's all really depends. I mean, it's if people like you, they'll vote for you.
That's right.
It doesn't matter how horrible of a dancer you are.
Yep.
If they don't like you, they won't.
They're like, bye.
That's and, it.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, we've seen.
Although right now it's kind of a mixed because the dancers already became such celebrities that people would vote for them no matter who they dance with.
They have their fan base. And some people will tune in if Derek Huff is there. If he's not there, they don't watch the show.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be interesting because we won't even have Val or Max or PETA. They're on tour right now, so they won't be doing the spring season. So How will that affect ratings? We don't know. It's going to be interesting. I really want to talk about what you and Karina are doing, because okay. I think that this is so fantastic. It's happening end of April up in San Jose, correct?
Yes. Yes.
All right. So tell us about it.
So it's a ballroom dance competition. So calls Dance Stars Festival.
So we're not Dancing with the Stars,
no,
people.
No, Dance Stars. So we're a festival where you could be the star.
Oh, I like this.
Yeah. So anybody could dance, they could be a star. So that's, I guess, kind of the thinking.
A play on words.
Behind the name. Yes. Yep. So it's in San Jose, April 29th. So it's a one-day event. Mm-hmm. So it's a ballroom competition for, I mean, we have different categories except pros. So because it's...
No pro. Okay.
You can do kids couples, amateur couples. You can do pro-am. Mm-hmm. Pro-am, it's basically what Dancing with the Stars is.
Yep.
So it's when a professional dances with their students.
Yep.
And then the day before, we're actually running a camp with lectures. So Karina is doing lecture, myself is doing lecture. So we have people like Natalie and Andre Parmonov. They're like a world champion in mm-hmm. show dance. We have Eugene Katzeman, who's like, I don't know, 10 times national champion.
No big deal.
Yeah, no, not big deal. So I have my friend Anna Pesikova, who's a European champion.
Oh, fantastic.
So basically we have like a world-class coaches do 7 lectures.
What made you decide San Jose?
In DCA.
Oh!
Yeah, so
someone else made the decision for you.
Yeah, so in DCA, it's a National Dance Council of America.
Okay.
So we apply by the rules. So they have a few competitions in the year, mm-hmm. quite a lot of them. So because there are so many of them, you can't just organize a new one.
You can't just be like, we'll be here in L.A.
Yeah, so you buy a competition from somewhere that's already existed.
Gotcha.
So, and then they have rules on it has to be certain miles and then certain dates. So we changed the dates, but we were not able to change the location. We wanted to be in Los Angeles.
But you made it to San Jose.
But it was originally in like a San Francisco Bay Area.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, good area. It's beautiful.
It's great up there.
Yeah.
And 45-minute flight from Los Angeles.
Here you go.
Not bad at all.
You can still do a car ride, which is like, what, 5 hours?
Yeah,
and
depending
it's
on
pretty,
traffic.
Right?
It's pretty. How long have you and Karina known each other?
Oh, man, forever. I mean, we used to compete.
When you were babies?
Not babies, no. I think I already met her here in the United States.
You did.
So I immigrated in 98. So I think she immigrated even earlier. She was younger with mm-hmm. her parents. So we met here competitively.
Yep.
So, and we would just see each other during competitions and, you know, but we became really good friends because of Dancing with the Stars.
Isn't it amazing how you guys...
Right. So we already knew each other. We always liked each other. But, you know, Dancing with the Stars, when you work so close together and you hang out all the time... So that's
where the friendship deepened and everything.
Exactly. Yeah.
I do find that interesting too, because so many of you guys were out there competing, whether you were younger or as adults, and that you all wound up on this show and propelled you guys to a whole other level of, you know, sort of fame and exposure and things like that. It's amazing just to see how many ties you all have to each other.
Well, it's like any world, you know, it's like it's a closed community.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, maybe there is a million ballroom dancers worldwide, but then there is only top 12.
That's right.
So everybody knows everybody.
But then you wound up on like one of the top shows in the United States. That, I think, makes the story even more extraordinary.
I'm sure, but that comes down to whoever did the due diligence of searching who the top dancers are in the United States.
Someone did their research.
Exactly. So, I mean, and how do you do research? You can literally put top 6 ballroom dancers.
Here's your list.
Yeah, well, the results will come out
yep.
because everybody posts results on the internet right now.
Yeah.
So it's very easy to find, actually.
That's amazing.
So you could do it right now.
You could do it.
But if I'll come back to a competitions, so we have lectures all day, and if people want, they can sign up for private lessons as well. And then the day before competition, we're going to do a welcome party, which we're going to do a Latin welcome party. So we'll
Ooh.
Have Latin music and a dinner and drinks. And then the comp is going to go throughout the whole day.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the evening, we're going to do awards dinner gala. So we're going to award people for top teacher, top student, top studio. So it's going to be fun. And we're going to do some fun games there.
All right.
Yeah, and I can't get away which those are. But.
Okay, I know. People will start prepping now.
Yeah, and then we have an amazing show there. So there are pro couples that will be doing a
performing show. Performing and things like that. Oh, that sounds like a great, and you're hoping to grow this, do an annual event.
Oh, it is an annual event already.
But now it's got your stamp with Karina.
Exactly. This is the first year we're doing it together. It's a different location, different name. We're pretty much starting from scratch. So when people ask me, so you're booking a dinner, how many people? I'm like, I don't know.
Not sure yet.
So that's going to be like this breaking point for us. Then when we organize next year, we'll be like, okay, well, that didn't quite work. Let's do this differently, or let's not do this at all. Oh my God, people love that. Let's do more of that. So it's a huge risk.
But it's good, though. It's good to take those risks.
We're super excited. It's, it's our first business project together.
I love this. Maybe you're building an empire with Karina, the two of you. I kind of like this. Everything going well with your studio?
Studio is good.
Yes.
Studio is in Sherman Oaks in the Valley, a label room dance studio.
Perfect.
Right? It's like Ventura and Beverly Glen. Mm-hmm. So anybody welcome.
It's a great studio.
For those people who never seen our interviews, it's a social dance studio. Anybody welcome. We teach kids, we teach adults, we have private lessons, group classes, we have social parties, we do studio outings. So basically anything you want. Wedding dances. So
You get a lot of wedding dances.
We do a lot of wedding couples. It's just they're so much fun. Yeah.
And are your sons showing any interest in dance? They're still itty bitty, but are they?
I keep them away.
You're keeping them away. Okay, that's okay.
I do. I bring them to the studio very rarely.
Yep.
It's just they have their. They're too little. Like, I already talked to some moms, and they're like, oh, we're going to go dance, and we'll take soccer, and we'll do this and this. My old one is only 4.5, and the little one's 2.5, and I just want them to be kids.
Yeah, they have time.
Like, I started at 7, and I don't say I wish I started earlier.
In the U.S., I think everyone starts putting their kids in, like, pre-ballet at, like, 2.5, you know?
Crazy.
It is crazy.
And I think that's why kids quit.
They get burnt out.
Because they've been pushed too early to do something that they didn't choose. So, because I've been a teacher all my entire life, so I started teaching at 15, and because I've been on the side where my mom pushed it so hard, and like I said, a huge thank you, but I've seen a lot of kids my age just go boom, done, boom, done, boom, you get burned out. I don't know, they're still young, but I hope, I'm just kind of going to watch what they are drawn to.
That's right.
And my older one, no interest in dancing at all. My little one,
there might be something there.
Every time he hears the music, he dances.
I love
it.
So
he's
got it in him.
He's probably going to be a dancer. He
I
just
love it.
Takes his little feeties and he has the music and goes back and forth, and he just runs around and spins, and then falls.
Next generation dancer. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
We are out of time. I can't believe this.
My goodness.
It goes by so quickly every hour. I'm always like, I can't believe it's over. But I'm so glad that we were able to catch up. I feel like it's been 2 years since I've seen you, which is ridiculous since.
It's been forever.
We are in the same neighborhood, which is even more ridiculous. We're now neighbors, which I kind of love. So I'll have to see you more for sure. And as I mentioned before, you guys, we are getting part two of this because Karina Smirnoff's coming in next week. We're excited to have her. I know. And you organized all that. You said, I will get her here next week. Don't you worry. If everyone wants to catch up
on. If she doesn't show up, blame me,
we're
right?
We're all tweeting you. We're all being like, where is Karina? So why don't you give out your Twitter account and Instagram account so people can follow you, and if Karina doesn't show up, we'll...
Right, they can tell me, okay. Oh, it's my first and last name for everything. Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Very easy.
Super easy. Thank you so much for coming here
today. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. And you guys, don't forget, check out all the latest dance news at dancenetwork.tv. We will see you next week with Karina. Bye, guys.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com.
I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only, and not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.